Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 802. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Hey, well, Kevin, how about yourself?
Another week and in bundles of fun in the world of architecture. Kind of the usual business. It was there was a lot happening last week, and we essentially took an episode off to talk to Eric. this week, not completely generous to us because, we don't really talk much AEW on this show.
Well, you know what? We can talk about that on this show, but I want to ask you a question. Since you just watched NXT, and I have not yet, and may not, because I have not been a fan of NXT for a while now, what are the rules to this, to whatever this match is they're doing at Deadline? I keep hearing people talk about they're doing this wacky new type of match, but no one's actually saying what Shawn Michaels said the rules were.
The way that I understand it, and I feel like people were retweeting the rules, but there's going to be 5 people per match. 2 people start out against each other. Someone else comes in every 5 minutes. You win by gaining pinfalls, submissions, or winning by disqualification. So, you know, they showed someone being assaulted by a chair on the outside. I think it might have even been Damon Kemp doing it. So I believe they're trying to say that, yeah, you can get a cheap win if someone decides to attack you illegally. People release every 5 minutes, but the entire match only lasts 25 minutes. And if you get pinned, you're sent to the penalty box for 90 seconds. So you cannot participate in any pinfalls for that time period.
Okay.
So you get 1 point for pinfall, and you don't lose points for getting pinned. You just lose time in the match. So that's I guess that seemed pretty straightforward to me. I suppose I did not need any graphics. I mean, it. I feel like there's some type of TNA DNA in there somewhere.
Yeah, it sounds very, very a little bit like King of the Mountain without a ladder and you have to having to hang the belt up instead of retrieving the belt.
I was gonna say it felt like a little more of a straightforward that one felt too convoluted to me. That King of the Mountain match, I think, or was it a reverse King of the Mountain? What the fuck did they do in Impact? But it seems so complicated. This one seems pretty straight ahead to me, you know. And it's one of those things where, in a lot of ways, there is some strategy, like. You probably don't necessarily want to be the last person in the match because you're going to have the least time to accumulate pinfalls. Obviously being rested does have its own benefits. Especially since 5 minutes is a decent chunk of time to be for the intervals to be in between. Like, you are really entering the match significantly later, as opposed to, Royal Rumble rules, which is, what, anywhere between 60 to 120 seconds, depending upon what, what year it is.
Right.
So, yeah. It sounds kind of interesting to me. I will be interested to see how it plays out. Like, it's going to be one of those things that, to me, the execution is going to matter more than maybe people not understanding the rules necessarily. Like, I feel like when you see something play out in front of you, it helps inform the rules, and we're not having that happen for another couple of weeks here, because I think that's mid-December, is that the 12th or something like that, that show is on. I'm not looking at a calendar right now, so I'm just kind of spitballing on the date.
I'll probably be out of town that week, so I will not care. Maybe I'll watch it later. Who knows? NXT has just been so uninteresting to me lately. I just have had zero time for it. Somewhat part of the reason is the never-ending title reign of one Mandy Rose.
It is one of the more interesting things. I like the character a lot. The in-ring stuff still seems to be like, I still don't feel like they trust her with that many like big level matches. Like, to me, I feel like she should be doing more at this point. Especially now that we're well over a year for a championship reign. It's interesting. Like, I guess I don't think she's terrible in the ring, but she's not that interesting in the ring.
Yeah, no, that is the problem. That is the interest. It's just not been an interesting reign. There's been nothing she can really hang her hat on that was a great match where she, you know, overperformed or over-delivered on expectations. It's just kept going on and on. She seems like she's beaten everyone more than once. I'm perplexed at what's going on over there. You know, Bron Breakker is absolutely wasting his time wrestling people who aren't going to sharpen his saw. They're not going to make him better. You know.
I did not. I did not catch, like, what is it, the first 45 minutes of NXT tonight.
I didn't catch any of it, but okay. But yeah, no. What does wrestling Von Wagner going to do for Bron Breakker at this point?
Von Wagner, his size is the only thing that helps him get into the situations. Yeah. A lot of times. Like, they haven't done a great job of, if they do want to use him, like, he still needs to be built better. And he needs to string together, and I don't know how many times we say this, he just needs to string together some wins. You know, I don't care what the competition is for the most part. Put together some wins, have a signature-ish win in there somewhere, and let's move along here. But they don't seem to be doing that with poor Von Wagner. So Bron Breakker is not really benefiting from beating him, is my assumption. Like, I don't know why Von Wagner would be your NXT champion currently.
No, there's absolutely no reason for that. just more my line of thinking that Prime Breaker has just... Anyone who's actually good in NXT doesn't really belong there. They're not gaining anything. If anything, they're just, they're just using up their bump card for no reason. Maybe that's always been the issue with NXT. Maybe the whole idea of developmental is just a flawed one. It just doesn't actually develop anybody.
I guess I don't agree with that. There are a handful of people that I feel like could potentially, that are in that scenario that you're talking about, that could be called up. It's just a handful of them. And I do think that sometimes it takes some people longer than others.
Yeah.
I don't really have a problem with some people spending more time down there than maybe they should. Bron Breakker's kind of running out of stuff, though, is ultimately one of his problems. And honestly, after the apparent Apollo Crews showdown, I am not sure where he has to go after that. Win or lose, if he wins it, it's just like, you can't really bring around another threat like that. Especially since he beat Ilya Dragunov already, he beat JD McDonagh already. He's pretty out of opponents down there. So
yeah, no, once again, he would so be better off just getting some back on Raw or SmackDown, working house shows against mid-card guys with some experience, learning along the way, debuting on television, picking up wins before pushing him to anything substantial. That's the thing. I think there needs to be tiers to this development process, and part of the development process needs to be being put on the main shows, and in particular on house shows, and working veterans. He's not gonna get anything out of wrestling Von Wagner. He's not getting anything out of doing the NXT Florida Loop house shows in front of a few hundred people.
Now, I do feel like I have heard of that happening some here recently. I feel like, interestingly enough, Wendy Chu was on that list. Interesting in and of the fact that her character hasn't gone much anywhere and is still pretty groan worthy, honestly. But I do like her as a wrestler. And she does have some ROH experience. I guess I wasn't surprised that she was on some house shows for the main roster stuff. But I don't know how frequently they're I feel like that's not the only time I've heard that. But I'm not sure how frequently something like that is happening either, though. Like, I'm not in the know enough to confirm or deny if it happens more frequently.
Right.
And you're right. Like, I mean, that should be happening for some of these guys. Because, I do like, as ridiculous as the gimmick was to start with, I've really grown to love Tony D'Angelo, and the guy can, he's an amateur wrestler that has caught on quite well, I think, and he's a pretty big dude, and that kind of helps out. Also, So Carmelo Hayes is another guy that in a lot of ways I kind of hope he loses the North American Championship, because he match against Wesley coming up. I don't think he has anything left to really kind of prove in NXT. You know, I think he is on that list that you're talking about.
Yeah, he definitely needs to be brought up. You know, in case you haven't, you forgot, Carmelo's not the defending champion of this match. Wesley is.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said it like Melo was a defending champion.
Oh. I don't want him to win back the championship for a third time then.
No, to be more clear. It's definitely time for him. Even more than Bron Breakker, because Melo did have, you know, quite a bit of experience before coming into NXT, so he even needed less seasoning than Bron Breakker.
No.
But yeah, no. They're both definitely on the list. Mandy Rose and the rest of Toxic Attraction should have been on the main roster 6 months ago, you know, doing their thing.
Yeah. Oh.
Other than that, I mean.
Yeah, because
I know they're high on Roxanne and Cora, but I could see them stick around NXT for another 6 months to a year. You know, both of them getting a run with the belt.
Oh.
You know,
yeah,
that would be fine for what NXT is, and for what each of their level that they're at. You know, good, but still some holes in their game. So if NXT exists to plug holes, then all the holes haven't been plugged.
Yeah. they're both. It seems like to me young enough in the game that it makes sense that maybe there are things that you think could be worked on to improve the overall package. So yeah, those two could stay in there. I'm trying to think if there are any of the women off the top of my head that other than Toxic Attraction.
Well, Alba Fire could certainly go. You know, she's got years of experience. She could certainly go. I'm not sure where she totally fits right now, so maybe keeping her NXT for a while it will be fine. So she's just not thrown on to Raw or SmackDown and not utilized. But that's good. There's quite a few people in NXT, you know, maybe not ready either.
Uh-oh.
But there's also the question, some of them, will they ever be?
Yeah. I'm not sure. What's his name? I like Josh Briggs, not that much of a fan of Jensen. Kind of a what's her name fan, Fallon Henley fan.
Her I like from what I've seen.
But also she's not on the call up yet list. Like she definitely can use some extra cook time. So, you were kind of talking about. Don't know if they got it. And I was trying to think of other people offhand that I think at this juncture maybe don't have it. Because I'm trying to think of the people that I feel like they've taken some people off TV.
Well, let's see.
Recently.
Not having it. Yes, they. For some reason, they took Tiffany Stratton off TV, and she definitely has it. Unless they're just waiting for the right time to plug her in on Raw or SmackDown.
That was a mystery disappearing.
Von Wagner. that Zion Quinn fella. Let's see. On the women's side, you know I hate, I can't stand Zoe Stark, and I can't stand Nikita.
Well,
it's gonna get to a shitter get off the pot, you know, point with Caden Carter and
Katana Chance.
Both have been in the NXT, stayed in the NXT system for about 5 years or so. Just finally actually started to actually get a push within the context of NXT. Still nothing special. I mean, once again, Katana Chance, Casey Cut Zero, great athlete, but has never been able, seemingly still never been able to really put together the psychology point guard of wrestling.
Oh. Yeah, I like what's her name a little, Caden Carter, a little bit better in the ring. Still, Katana Chance, she obviously pulls some stuff out that most a lot of women can't. But yeah, I do agree with you that there's still a little something missing with her, and I think that that's their ceiling, you know, as a tag team on the main roster. And I'm not sure that, you know, probably an undercard tag team is going to have that much airtime on the main roster.
Right. I mean, it still always goes back and forth, you know, how they value the women's tag team championships depending on who has it. I mean, it yo-yoing between Io Sky and Dakota Kai and Alexa Bliss and Asuka, that's going to come to an end soon, and then what do you do? Then it becomes a non-priority again. Well, because this feud is going to, this whole, that turns, I guess it's a little bit of a transition to talk about some main roster stuff. War Games is going to be the end of this whole Damage Control Bianca and Friends feud. It already feels like we're probably going to maybe get a transition to Bianca and Rhea out of all this. So, Damage Control will kind of, and Bayley in particular, will be shit out of luck. As far as being featured is concerned, because I don't think Alexa and Asuka are going to stay together as a team after this. It still seems like Alexa's going to get dragged into the whole Bray Wyatt situation.
Yeah, that is still a very long play. Very long play on the Bray Wyatt stuff. But yeah, they definitely seem to be hinting at Alexa and Asuka going their own ways, and that this is kind of a temporary kind of situation without being bitchy to each other, you know, like, I think they've made that part clear too, which is nice, you know, just because it does kind of, people tend to turn on each other too frequently, so
yeah,
it's nice of them to kind of squash that up front, at least in my eyes. Yeah, I guess. Do you think, my assertion was that they just so happened to show the Rhea Ripley, Edge, Beth Phoenix situation right before Rhea Ripley A joined with the other heel ladies. So any chance that Betty Phoenix is the number 5 for the babyface team, sir?
I mean, there's definitely a chance of that. I could certainly see her taking that role, and it looks like they're not just. If it was just gonna be Candice LeRae, I think they would have just made that clear last night. I don't think there was any reason to drag out a Candice LeRae
Oh.
return, and you know, from that minor beating she suffered, even that wasn't really even a beating that we saw. And she's only been around like a month before that, so people don't really have a
that much of a vested interest.
Have that much of a vested interest or attachment to her. Then again, they kind of just threw Mia Yim on the team instead of doing a separate match that would have put the club against the Judgment Day with the ladies also involved.
No.
But once again, it was Mia Yim. They tore the Band-Aid off quick with Mia Yim. They're not making it a grand reveal that it's going to be that it's going to be Mia Yim who has been on TV for all of 2 weeks.
They seem pretty intent on getting the names out there. Like, because honestly, I was not expecting Rhea Ripley to introduce herself into the feud last night.
I was not expecting Rhea and Mia to end up in that match. I thought they were to have their own deal with the rest of their respective squads. That's not what's happening. They're being added to the women's match. We've already had one interaction between Bianca and Rhea, so I think a transition to doing that seems logical.
No,
but you know, Beth Phoenix is hanging over Rhea Ripley, so to have her be the fifth member, it'd be a pretty good choice. I mean, I don't think Sasha Banks is coming back for this match. I'm less bullish than ever that she's coming back anytime soon, if ever. And then the other option would be to have actually someone who people would really pop for would be Becky Lynch, but I'm not certain if she's ready to return yet. But no, Beth Phoenix being the fifth woman on the Bianca's team at War Games, so it would make sense. It would fit the whole thing with Rhea. I wasn't really thinking of that, but it definitely makes sense.
I haven't thought less about the whole Sasha Banks and Naomi honestly coming back. I know that I've still seen their names out there recently. But that's one of those things that I've just kind of stopped. Like, it's not a bated breath even situation at this point. It's just like, this is just truly, to me, gotten into, I don't know what happened, and this has gotten weird, considering, you know, like, it's been different management for quite some time at this point in relative terms. I mean, I think we're getting to the 6 month point, aren't we?
We might be just past that.
Okay, yeah. I thought it was in that neighborhood somewhere. So, 6+, let's say. If there would have been some... I guess I just feel like there are any number of spots where she and or they could have come back. I thought that a damage control Naomi Sasha match was kind of destined to happen, honestly.
It does not feel like we're anywhere near them coming back now. Especially where we were, post SummerSlam and Triple H being fully in control and Vince being gone and Vince being the issue with them and Triple H, smoothing things over. But, Sasha is out there trying to get over her real name. I mean, she's doing Comic-Cons, saying Mercedes Renato, formerly known as Sasha Banks. She filed some trademarks today that are all based on her real name. So, whether that's for some kind of other business venture or what have you, whatever. It feels like she still does want to move on from wrestling.
Oh.
But she also puts things out there on her Instagram of her still training in a ring. So, you know, if she could get a deal where she could maybe wrestle somewhere else part time and pursue her other interests, maybe she would do that. You know, she's always wanted to wrestle in Japan. Maybe she can get an opportunity to do that for pretty good money, but not anything full time. Who knows? But I'm less bullish on her or Naomi returning. Now, once again, Naomi could have an easy spot to slide right into if she were to join up with her husband in the Bloodline.
Yeah.
Being the Bloodline's, you know, representative in the women's division, that could easily happen at any point. Because I feel like any interest that the real entertainment world has is directed at Sasha. I know it's almost like Naomi is her, and I hate saying this because I like Naomi, but it almost feels like Naomi is Sasha's plus one at all these premieres and all these parties that she's going to. that
right.
It's not really about her in the end of the day. So it's again, you know. She would have an easy spot to slip into if she ever wanted to come back. But for Sasha, I don't see the path. If she were to come back next week, I don't see the path to her having a big match at WrestleMania. I'm seeing less and less what they would do with her. And you know, how she was being treated and perceived was a huge part of what led to the blow-up. So it's like, she's not going to come back if she's going to just be thrown in a battle royal or a four-way tag match at WrestleMania. You know, if she's not getting one of those two title match spots, you know, what's she coming back for? If she really believes, and you know, she's in her early 30s now. If she truly believes that she can make it on her own under her real name as an actress or whatever else she wants to do, I guess now's the time to do it. She can always go back to wrestling. Wrestling will always welcome her back at this point.
Yes. Not even at this point. Wrestling always welcomes you back.
Yeah, I'm sure Vince would have let it go after a while.
Yes. Even Vince lets stuff go. Like, if you would go out and make a name for yourself and then decide, hey, yeah, I feel like coming back, Vince would be more than happy to bring you aboard. More than happy. So, yeah, it just seems like, just seems like time for her to move on, I suppose. If that's really what she wants to do. Like, and I mean, it's not like she said things one way or the other. Like you said, like, she's still evidently Instagramming herself training for wrestling. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. But, yeah, it feels like all the other ancillary evidence points to her not really wanting to wrestle. And I guess we could since you were did mention the Bloodline there, I guess we could talk about their whole part in War Games here too, if we so chose, because it looks like we have at least 4-on-4 in that situation right now.
I'm assuming there will be a fifth member to the European gentleman at War Games. Although both Butch and Sami Zayn are facing each other in that tournament, that's for an Intercontinental title match. I presume at Survivor Series, but maybe not. I don't know. They haven't said that yet. But I don't think either of them are going to advance too far. Most likely, they will both be in War Games, I assume. The women's is 5-on-5. There's no reason for the men's not to be 5-on-5. Oh, it's just who would be the fifth person to join the team. And a pretty good pick for that may not be available if it was the original idea, as at a house show over the weekend, it is believed that Kevin Owens at the very least tweaked his knee, if not a more serious injury.
Oh, I did not see that news. And that is, that would be too bad. I mean, Kevin Owens can play literally every role. Him coming back for that would fit nicely, especially since he's been pretty anti-Roman Reigns this whole time. You know, he really would have fit in storyline-wise. And plus to oppose his good old buddy, Sami Zayn, one more time.
Yeah. Yeah, so it looks like this injury has, in fact, put a damper on those plans. And I don't know exactly who the fifth person would be, because we've got Matt Riddle being de-pushed on Raw. You've got Nakamura being beat on SmackDown.
Nope.
And so you're running out of baby faces at that point to put in this match.
Yeah, the list the pickings are getting pretty slim there. Because I'm trying to think of a couple offhand, and I'm not really having a whole lot of success. Because I'm trying to think of who. I was going to say, is there anyone they can bring back?
I mean, you could do Brock, you could do Goldberg.
Goldberg on a team would look really weird.
So would Brock.
I think that might actually somehow be weirder.
Brock Lesnar, I don't believe Brock Lesnar has worked a tag team match since like 2004.
Oh man, I don't know. That seems to check out. I'll confirm and we can move along. Oh man. Yeah, that would be pretty awkward. I guess I don't foresee Seth Rollins and or Bobby Lashley being involved.
Yeah, Lashley is doing, I think he's turned heel, although when he was walking to the ring to confront Seth Rollins, he was slapping hands. I think Seth is a face now. But I'm not 100% confirmed that he is. And it looks like he's going to be defending his U.S. championship in at least a triple threat, if not maybe a four-way or however many way match at Survivor Series. So... I guess he's out.
Yeah, and like, and maybe those three or four like, other people that are in the match with him.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like Randy Orton's coming back anytime. He's gonna be able to come back anytime soon. Bray Wyatt is gonna be facing LA Knight of all people. And I think he's supposed to be the baby face. I'm not, although I am not sure.
Fair enough.
More and more I'm thinking about it, like, all the excitement of, you know, the Triple H era, feels like a lot of air has been left out of that balloon in the last month, and it doesn't feel like we've moved on from the surprise every week, and then we're not left with a show anymore that's that much more exciting to watch than a Vince McMahon Raw over the summer.
I guess I feel like it's more coherent, at least.
Yeah, it is coherent.
And more... And a little more updated. But you're right, like, they have not had great shows the last couple of weeks. I mean, before we even started the show, we were having a hard time pinpointing what to what to talk about to start things off, honestly, and that's never, you know, it's never a good sign for Friday, Monday shows to not have anything all that memorable happen in them.
Nothing's that memorable right now. They're definitely in a transition period, and because they're not going to have a pay-per-view and, excuse me, premium live event in all of December, and until the end of January, we're definitely going to get into a very slow. We're definitely getting into the slow season. I mean, War Games should be fun, but beyond that, there doesn't really seem to be much else going on. And even then, there's War Games, at its heart is a big grudge match. There's not really much at stake either, in either match. So, once again, it should be an entertaining show unto itself, but nothing. But maybe I don't. Well, hopefully, there's some movement in the Bloodline storyline with Roman and Sami Zayn and Jey Uso. I think that's. I think that we will at least get that. Hopefully, they use this 2 months between premium live events to set the tape for the period between Rumble and WrestleMania. To get the people ready that they're going to push heavily, coming out of, really coming right out of the Royal Rumble. It would be a good time to do that. You can do some you can certainly do some maintenance shows. It's not out of the it's commonplace for December to be kind of a down month anyway. So,
No.
but if you're setting the table for the Rumble to make WrestleMania period, and we're not having any of those years where it's February and we don't really see where the path to where anything's going. Thankfully, we've also, even as of last year, got rid of Fastlane, so there's no March show. So that helps. So that helps too. So hopefully, as I said, they can at least start putting people in positions.
Oh.
Coming out of Survivor Series, up until the Royal Rumble, there's also. I know they're doing the 30th anniversary of Raw. I think it's the Monday before the Royal Rumble. Obviously, that's going to be an all hands on deck show. If I'm sure they'll bring everyone back that they can.
Oh, always. Always.
Yeah, and I mean, there's already rumors out there that they want Stone Cold to have a match at WrestleMania again. You can start that there. If The Rock's going to be around for WrestleMania for the Roman Reigns match, sure, you want him there. So once again, we can put things in place.
Yeah, and I think they have a lot of parts in play now, just because, like you said, they've kind of added to the roster here and there. I don't think Mia Yim is going to be a major factor in any championship match at WrestleMania, but I do think that we'd kind of talked about it. There is just some needed depth that the WWE just needed in general after the Great Purge. Because, yeah, things got a little too slim and not. I guess not everyone's going to be put in a great position, but, if you can establish a hierarchy, I think that that can make for an even better product moving forward. And they should be able to set that up here in the next couple of months. So, yeah, because there are a lot of there are some new faces if you want to elevate them. I'm not sure that this whole World Cup situation is going to elevate anyone. I feel like it's mostly a time filler. But they could use it to elevate people if they want
I'm not
to.
sure if I'm going to see the elevation part I'm seeing a Braun Strowman win of this whole tournament. And then we get Braun Strowman versus... Which, that's a hell of an extreme match for me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Braun versus Gunther, that would be an interesting match. I mean, there aren't a whole lot of Gunther is the smaller guy matches. And he is definitely going to be the smaller guy in that matchup.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be pretty interesting, honestly, to see that matchup go down. I'm not sure how it would go down exactly. Train wreck or decent? I guess it would at least probably be decent, right?
So,
Braun Strowman. Yeah, I guess he's another guy that would not make sense as the fifth person on the babyface team.
Actually, maybe he would be the next best choice if Kevin Owens can't go.
Yeah, now that we bring his name up, I'm like, I don't know. He kind of fits. He fits the bill.
Yeah, it might as well be him. I mean, it would really suck if Owens is out, you know, for a long period of time, even past WrestleMania, because that was, you could feel that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn against the Usos was such a perfect WrestleMania match to do once the Sami was out of the bloodline. What are you looking at? What are you seeing?
Oh my gosh. So, I'm watching some action currently. It's Bowling Green at Toledo. Toledo took the lead with 20 seconds to go in the game. And then Toledo just missed, I'm not sure how many tackles, at least three, and allowed a guy to score on like a 70-yard catch and run. So Bowling Green scored with 9 seconds left and is now up by, it'll be 6 points after this extra point. Like, what the fuck just happened? There has been some crazy bonkers football here the last couple of days, because there was some wild shit happening in the NFL on Sunday. Anywho, back to Braun Strowman's candidacy for the War Games match. after that slight distraction on my part. I did not expect to see that happen. I expected Bowling Green to lose and to be happy about it. What else, I guess? Oh, yeah, but that was... I guess Braun can't win this tournament, though, if he's getting involved in the War Games match. But it does seem like it's set up for him to win this thing, correct? I don't think anyone else is even remotely his size in this tournament. And have they revealed what they're doing exactly as far as the rules? Are they doing a round robin kind of situation for this?
No, just single elimination.
Oh, well, that's silly. It shouldn't be called the World Cup then. Because you're not playing it like the World Cup. Groups of four. Have someone win out of each division and then face each other. Come on, it's not that hard. Well, yeah, I guess that's kind of silly that it's single elimination. 'Cause what? Oh, I've got to admit, was a little bit surprised. I'm trying to remember who won that. Okay, yeah, Santos did beat Shinsuke in the one matchup. So there was that was a pretty solid match. Anywho, I suppose to get back on track to something that was going to start the show back a long time ago. What did you think about the most recent iteration of the Usos versus the New Day on this past week's SmackDown?
Excellent matches always between them. certainly not going to criticize the match quality at all. In fact, not really going to criticize as much of anything. It was a good idea to have the New Day defending their record.
Oh.
And trying to get the tag titles back and trying to stop you from Usos from beating their record. And, once again, they had a good match. That's good. Just, good stuff.
Yeah.
Really good. Once again, this whole thing with Sami Zayn has just breathed new life into the bloodline. To the point where you're not really thinking about just how little opponents the Usos and Roman Reigns have left, and the Usos arguably have less than Roman Reigns, really.
Yes, they. This was really, like you said, like this one really worked out storyline. It was just like, nah, you guys aren't breaking our record, F that. For the New Day, that's the last real hurdle, Like there isn't any other tag team left in the division that has any real cachet, and it doesn't. I don't feel like there's that aimlessly floating two star wrestlers who need a spot and get thrown into the tag team division right now. I mean, I could be wrong on that front,
It's like it would have been Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And it would have
oh.
been a perfect match to do at WrestleMania and have them win the titles. But now that might be out the window now. So it's like, what do we. I mean, the only other team that seems to be really getting. I don't know. Are Matt Riddle and Elias really going to get a big push? Does anyone want to see that?
Oh.
Riddle just feels so done. Every week he's removed from Randy Orton, he just feels more and more done.
Yeah, they've really let the more stonery side of the character come out, and that isn't really a good thing at all. And him teaming with Elias, I'm like, huh? This is where we're at with Riddle, huh? Like, it's wild. Like, I just sit there and I think to myself, wow, there was a lot of time and effort put into this one, and phew, this is what we're doing now, huh? Alrighty then. And again, like, it's not like all of this push was just under Vince or something. Like, part of this sustained push was with Triple H in charge. Yeah, he has really not moved along from the whole Randy Orton situation. It's pretty wild. Because Orton's been out for kind of a while now, hasn't it? Like, I.
It's been about 6 months.
Yeah, so that's a long ass time for someone to be out, and that's a long time to be pretty aimless in wrestling.
Well, I mean, Matt Riddle wasn't. I mean, he continued. He waved the flag against the Bloodline and got one match against Roman Reigns, and then he moved on from that to a feud with Seth Rollins. It was a pretty good feud. But after the Rollins feud was over, there's just nothing.
Oh.
And obviously, once again, even with this potential open spot in War Games, they were not in the business of protecting him on Raw. To maybe put him back in that situation against the Bloodline, but so I don't doesn't look like that's happening as I mentioned before. So it's just you know that I don't think that little Elias team has future tag team champions written all over it. And then the only other team getting a push are Viking Raiders and their heels.
Yeah,
it makes no sense to go against the Usos.
Yeah, that would be a weird matchup. I'm not sure that I would be a fan of that one. I'm not even sure that I'm a fan of the current incarnation of the Viking Raiders. You know, it's a look. They are definitely into that stuff. They are are really leaning into it.
And I mean, I guess what Sarah Logan is her whole new look is a complete ripoff of a video game character. Is that what people are saying? I'm unfamiliar with the Impaler. This was it, Max the Impaler or Sam the Impaler?
Max the Impaler. She is a independent wrestler.
Oh, it's even worse than I thought. That's pretty shitty.
yeah. It's one of those ones where I feel like they're both using I would be shocked if Sarah Logan was not familiar with this person. You know, I feel like, because she was on, at a minimum, she was on Ring of Honor. So she's at least been that has had that much exposure within wrestling itself. I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't think she's been on AEW, but yeah, I would have thought that Sarah Logan would have at least been aware of it. And yeah, she really, I know that they're pulling essentially from the same iconography. So that's the only part that kind of softens the blow, I guess, in a little bit of a way. But yeah, like, it's just like, come on, man, do something a little bit different to separate yourself here. You know, don't do the full, what is it? Because I don't want... She paints, what, half of her face? Like, the top half of her face? I was trying to figure out a good way to describe it. But definitely from the nose up is all painted. And that's the same way that Max the Impaler did. She has the same. She has a similar dreadlocked hairdo. Although, you know, again, like, multiple people are allowed to make this hairstyle choice, and you don't just grow those overnight. You know, that is a process to get your hair to look like that. And one that I don't particularly care to ever go through. Like, that just seems like entirely too much work, in my opinion, to get that hairstyle. and you kind of need the right hair, and I don't think I have that. So, yeah, it's pretty bad when you rip off an indie wrestler, even with the softening blow, knowing that they're both pulling from that kind of, it's definitely a similar look that's out there if you're going through, the Norse mythology type stuff. So, yeah, Usos versus Viking Raiders would be a really, really weird matchup. They can do it, I guess, if they want to. I also don't see the Viking Raiders being the ones to dethrone the Usos either. I don't see anyone on the roster right now that is dethroning the Usos. And not that I really expected New Day to do that this past Friday. Do you have anyone that you could possibly pull out of your hat that that might end the Usos' reign at this point?
No, I do not.
Yeah, it is pretty bleak on their horizon. At least Roman Reigns can still hold out hope for Cody Rhodes, but he's still got a few months to wait for that to come. Anything else to talk about within wrestling that we did not get to? Did you want to talk about Mr. Rollins' long night on Raw this week?
Not really.
Fair enough.
I mean, he beat Finn Balor, and then he got attacked by Austin Theory, who they're already trying to rebuild.
Yeah, I will say one of Austin Theory's best promo that that I have heard. So I am I'm gonna be credit where credit is due. Like we'll see if this leads somewhere. But yeah, at least for now, it was a good restart for him. And yeah, I am trying to see scan real quick on Raw here to see if there's anything. Yeah, because I don't know what Mia Yim really did get Shelton Benjamin back on TV. It's pretty amazing. Yeah, I guess that's about it. Unless you want to talk about poker playing Akira Tozawa. No. Hard pass on that one. Well, then it seems like it's a good time to talk about a Bell Time beer. I still have in this, I think this might be the last one from one of my favorite local breweries here, Sideswipe Brewing, Batshit Hazy, and the name of the beer should say it all. It is a hazy IPA, and it is quite tasty. These guys really know how to throw down in the hazy IPA department. And this one does come in at a nice light 5.3% ABV, so it's an easy drinking one too. So yeah, go to your local purveyor of good beers and go out and grab you one that tastes like some batshit hazy there. So that is the Bell Time beer suggestion from Matt DeFrango11. He is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.